Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Matt Peck, Bulls and NBA writer at FanRag Sports, and host of the 312 on 1590 AM WCGO. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, at Bulls underscore Peck, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. And don't forget, you can hit us up at our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369. Matt Peck here, holding down the fort with a solo show today. Jordan Malley is out. Also, be sure to check out the Locked On Baseball coverage and all their baseball podcasts at LockedOnMLB.com. If you're a Cubs fan, tune in to Locked On Cubs. Follow them on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. And also, as we get closer to the NFL draft, be sure to check out our friends at Locked On Bears, at Locked On Bears on Twitter. Lots of talk with the Bears right now. The GM Ryan Pace choosing to let wide receiver Cam Meredith walk away and sign with the New Orleans Saints, not matching that offer. So lots going on with the Chicago Bears as we get closer to the NFL draft. Check out Locked On Bears as we get baseball season underway. Check out Locked On Cubs as well. On today's Locked On Bulls, we'll be talking about the John Paxson season-ending press conference from yesterday. What did we learn from Paxson's comments? Did we get a better idea of who is staying and who might be going in year two of this rebuild? What are John Paxson and the organization's plans for this offseason and year two of the rebuild? And once again, that reminder, if you have any thoughts on Paxson's press conference, any questions for us looking ahead to next week's mailbag about the Paxson press conference from Thursday, send us your voicemails and your texts to 331-979-1369. With that, let's get started. First thoughts on the takeaway of the John Paxson press conference from yesterday. No real surprises, right? We've seen and heard a lot of season-ending press conferences from John Paxson at this point. Noteworthy that, again, it is John Paxson leading the way with the media. Gar Forman, his general manager, taking a step back from the public scene, from the public spotlight. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything about Gar Forman's stability in his position. And I know a lot of Bulls fans would like that not to be the case. But this has been pretty consistent now since Jimmy Butler's trade happened about a year ago. And even before that, Paxson has become the front man for this front office and their presence with the media here in Chicago. And I was not at all surprised to see Gar Forman absent from that press conference yesterday. I don't think anything has changed there. I think it's status quo as normal. Coming into this offseason, coming into the 2018 NBA draft, Paxson still has faith, so does the Reinsdorf family, that Gar Forman is a valuable piece of this front office when it comes to negotiating with contracts this offseason. We'll talk about that, and Zach LaVine in particular as well. And also the scouting team that this Bulls organization has in place as they try to find two key pieces in the first round of this upcoming 2018 NBA draft. So as far as who we saw at the podium, not at all surprised to see John Paxson and no Gar Forman. Things that we learned that are most concrete based on what we heard from John Paxson. Fred Hoiberg will return for season 4 of his 5-year contract as the Bulls head coach. No real surprise there. It was the first time that we got complete 100% confirmation on this from John Paxson, but it was largely expected that Fred Hoiberg would return. Paxson did offer some praise for Hoiberg and the way that he maintained, along with his coaching staff, a positive environment for this young, rebuilding Bulls team, even through the 3-20 start that they had at the beginning of this season, through some of the tough times, and saying even when Paxson joined the team on their final road trip to Brooklyn, that Hoiberg and his coaching staff were still teaching, still going over film, still doing all the things they needed to do to try to help this young core get better. So no real surprise there. Fred Hoiberg will return, and you have to, for the most part, agree with what Paxson said as far as Hoiberg kind of finding his feet for the first time this season, with no big-headed veteran egos in that locker room to worry about, having a young team that was buying into the way that he likes to coach and the kind of style of basketball that he likes to play, that he wants his team to play. So no surprise there. Fred Hoiberg will be back. As far as the three pieces that they got in the Jimmy Butler trade, Paxson had interesting notes on all three of them, was asked and answered pretty straightforward in his comments about both Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn, as well as the rookie Lauri Markkanen. Of the three, seems like Paxson, like most Bulls fans, is most excited about the rookie Markkanen, especially considering he played the most of that trio, close to 70 games on the season, whereas Dunn and LaVine were both held back with their respective injuries. Paxson said that Markkanen exceeded their expectations in his rookie season. Said obviously they were high on them, high on Lauri in the draft, but he exceeded their expectations. As far as room for improvement, Paxson said that's what is most exciting about Markkanen. Still so young, still so much room to grow. Said, obviously, we love the fact that he can play outside the perimeter and shoot confidently. He wants Markkanen to work on building the frame of his body this offseason, hitting the gym with the Bulls' strength training staff, and also working on his ball handling, working on scoring at different spots on the floor inside the perimeter. So that was the to-do list that Paxson gave Markkanen for this offseason, and expressed his optimism and pleasure that this will be really the first time that Markkanen can spend his offseason with the Bulls coaching staff, with their training and strength and conditioning staff, because he did a lot of participation with Euro basketball last summer with the Finnish national team. So Paxson excited about that and what Markkanen can be doing this offseason within the confines of the Bulls and their program. As far as Chris Dunn, Paxson obviously disappointed with the injury-riddled season he had, starting things off with a dislocated finger, then, of course, the unfortunate fall that led to the concussion and a string of missed games after his strong stretch of play in December and January when the Bulls were winning games and playing well. And as far as Dunn's offseason to-do list, John Paxson said he needs to get stronger finishing at the rim. And I think we can all agree with that. Chris Dunn showed his abilities certainly as one of the stronger defensive point guards in the league. And he can become, Paxson said, one of the best defensive guards in the NBA. I think we could all agree that that's fairly true at this point. The potential is there. And we've already seen Dunn play elite defense for stretches of this season. But finishing at the rim, John Paxson said that that would be the key for Dunn to expand and more completely round out his game as a scoring point guard this offseason. Finish at the rim. That is the number one thing on Dunn's to-do list this offseason in the eyes of John Paxson. Zach LaVine, perhaps the most interesting and the guy who got the most attention and was the most questions were asked about Zach LaVine by the Chicago media to John Paxson yesterday, just because of the inconsistency of the fact that this guy only played 25 games in his first season in Chicago, really before they found out what they had in Markkanen. LaVine and not Dunn was considered the centerpiece of that Butler trade, the highest ceiling potential player of that Butler trade. And they were obviously cautious bringing him back after a torn ACL. John Paxson mentioned Derrick Rose, saying that obviously this franchise has some previous experience in that regard. And Paxson expressed optimism that usually it's the second year after coming back from an ACL when you really see that player make the leap and improve their game, really get themselves back to playing at the highest possible level, and said that it's unfortunate that LaVine had that knee tendonitis, and said that if LaVine were in that Bulls lineup for the remainder of the season, even after the All-Star break when they were taking a look at some of the younger guys, that he believes the Bulls would have won more games. But he said flatly, and I'm pretty sure this is a direct quote here, Zach LaVine needs to be a better basketball player. So he didn't really break into any more specifics, but I think we can all agree that LaVine and Dunn and Markkanen as a trio need to get better as players that play together well on the court. And that is something that Paxson was asked about. And he, of course, highlighted his response with, well, yeah, they only played 12 games together. And it's unfortunate. And that trio, I think it was a negative 21.5 net rating when Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen were on the court together. And I think that they had such a limited opportunity to develop that chemistry. And when it comes to Zach LaVine, it is figuring out a way for him to be a primary scoring option on this team while not disrupting the flow of the offense that Fred Hoiberg wants. Because Fred Hoiberg's offense is not about isolation scoring and not about isolation basketball. But a lot of what we saw from Zach LaVine in his best moments in the brief stint that he had this season was isolation basketball. So how do the Bulls fix that, and how do they develop LaVine's game this offseason? That's something that Paxson will have to key in on. And then the other element to Paxson's comments about Zach LaVine were the elephant in the room, which is the restricted free agency that LaVine is staring at right now, and the fact that both the Bulls front office and Paxson and Zach LaVine have all stated that they want Zach LaVine to be here long term. That they envision him as part of the core moving forward. He wants to be here. He wants to lead this team back to NBA relevance, back to playoff contention. And it would be pretty shocking if something happened this offseason that led to Zach LaVine not being in a Bulls uniform next season. I think we can rule out that possibility. It's very, very unlikely that LaVine is not here next season. As far as the contract negotiations, Paxson said that's Gar's area, and you know, we believe that we will be able to sit down with Zach and his agent and work something out. But he did highlight, Paxson, that it will largely be dependent upon the market. The market dictates contract negotiation more than anything. And that may have been Paxson kind of giving a little bit of a nod to the fact that the Bulls and the front office pretty much have the leverage in this situation. There's only a small number of teams that can actually afford to offer a max level deal. And of that small number of teams that have that kind of cap flexibility in the summer of 2018, how many of them, if any, are really ready to throw a whole bunch of money and 4 or 5 years at a guy in Zach LaVine who played 20 some games after coming off a torn ACL? I don't see Zach LaVine as a restricted free agent getting a lot of different offers and bringing a max level contract to the Bulls for them to match. I just don't see that happening, and I don't think John Paxson sees that happening. So I think with his commentary about the market dictating how the Bulls will approach this offseason when it comes to keeping Zach LaVine in town, I think he was saying there, hey, we've got the upside. We've got the upper hand in these negotiations because, as we saw with Nico Mirotic last offseason as a restricted free agent, if they don't come to us with an offer sheet that we have to match, we can find some kind of common ground, and we can probably get away with keeping Zach LaVine in town on a multi-year deal that is not a max-level contract. Because, quite simply, Zach LaVine did not earn a max-level contract. Not even close. He knows that. His agent knows that. And I think you'll probably see some kind of middle ground where the Bulls and Zach LaVine come to terms on a 3 or maybe 4 year deal that pays him handsomely, probably pays him a little bit more than he's worth, in all honesty, to keep him around. But it's not going to be max level. Maybe somewhere, I mean, if it's a 4 year deal, maybe somewhere in the realm of $100 million, $25 million per. To me, I think that's, I wouldn't want to go any higher than that if I'm the Bulls front office. And if LaVine brings them no such offers to match from somebody else, then the Bulls can have the upper hand in those negotiations. So those were the key hitting points that John Paxson had about the three pieces of the Jimmy Butler trade, saying he is very pleased. He is happier now than where the Bulls were a year ago at this time. Well, I guess perhaps not quite exactly a year, because the Bulls were getting ready for a first-round playoff matchup with Boston around this time last year, but essentially saying leading up to the draft night trade of Jimmy Butler, Paxson feels better about where they are now. And a lot of that has to do with those three guys that we just talked about. We got to take a quick break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we'll be talking about some of the other players on this Bulls roster who were and were not mentioned by name by John Paxson in his press conference yesterday, and what that means for those individuals moving forward. You're listening to Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media, on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck, and on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls. Stay up to date with everything Chicago Bulls at LockedOnBulls.com, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts.
Welcome back to Locked On Bulls. I'm your host, Matt Peck, sitting in doing a solo show today without Jordan Malley. We'll have Jordan back on our Monday show, and we'll get some of his thoughts on what we all watched and listened to yesterday. If you're a part of Bulls Nation, you've probably listened to or watched that John Paxson press conference, the season-ending season recap, and look ahead to the off-season press conference that Bulls fans have grown accustomed to dreading over the past few years, as the majority of the fan base is growing tired of this front office and is skeptical about whether or not they are the right guys to be leading this rebuild. But let's get back to it. In our first segment, we touched on Paxson's thoughts on Hoiberg and the coaching staff, as well as LaVine, Dunn, and Markkanen, the three core pieces of the Jimmy Butler trade. Other guys that were mentioned and praised by John Paxson in this press conference yesterday: Bobby Portis. Paxson touched on the unfortunate start to his season and the fight with former teammate Niko Mirotić, and Paxson praised everybody involved for the way that the team was able to, no pun intended, fight their way through that, keep things for the most part positive in the locker room and in practices and on the court, and Bobby and Niko even playing well together. Paxson saying that Bobby has certainly, you know, proven himself as a piece that they want to keep around. Now, he did not receive any questions as part of this press conference about whether or not that they would talk to Bobby about a long-term, multi-year contract extension this offseason, because the Bulls did pick up his rookie option, and Bobby is under team control next season. So the Bulls don't have to negotiate with Bobby this summer if they don't think it's a top priority or they have bigger fish to fry, especially Zach LaVine and getting his contract situation figured out. But Paxson did praise Bobby and the way that he played this season, as well as Denzel Valentine, who Paxson said he believes Valentine found his niche in his second year and played exceedingly better than his rookie season, which was largely inconsistent and lacked consistent opportunities. Some of the other guys that were not mentioned in this John Paxson press conference: Cristiano Felicio, a guy they signed to a 4-year, $32 million extension last summer, who, playing behind Robin Lopez for the primarily first part of the season leading up to the All-Star break had historically one of the worst individual net ratings of a player to get significant minutes in the last 40 years of the NBA. Jordan and I talked about that a little bit yesterday. No mention of Felicio. John Paxson, when asked about what their strategy would be going into the draft, did not mention looking at a big, particularly with that first pick of theirs that will be a top 10 pick, maybe sixth or seventh, maybe if they get lucky somewhere in the top three. No, he talked about adding a wing. And if you've been paying attention to mock drafts leading up to the NBA draft this summer, just a couple of months away, you'll know that if Paxson is talking about a wing that can add scoring, athleticism, and defense, if the Bulls are sitting sixth or seventh, that's probably Mikal Bridges of Villanova, who Jordan and I have talked about at length on this podcast over the last month or so. Maybe if they get lucky and are in the top three, the Bulls can easily, with one of those top three picks, most likely, got Michael Porter Jr. and play him at the wing. Athleticism, check. Length, check. Scoring, check. Defense, he's got potential there. Maybe even if the Bulls don't get lucky in the lottery and do end up staying at six or seven because other teams are weary of his back injury that kept him out for most of his season at Missouri, or because they are higher on either the international sensation Luka Doncic and the collection of bigs, Bamba, Ayton, Jaren Jackson Jr., Bagley. Maybe Porter is there. At six, there's a good chance, even maybe at seven. So because Paxson said that that was the key going into this draft, and he also did say, which is pretty much by the book for the Bulls front office over the since Paxson has been running things, it's best available. They definitely are looking to address the wing position because that is a position of need, the most severe position of need on a team that needs help pretty much everywhere still. They're going to try to get a wing in this draft. But best available, if best available isn't necessarily a wing, Paxson said, look, we'll go best available. Maybe that means if they do get lucky and they are high on one of those bigs more so than they are on Michael Porter Jr. Or Mikal Bridges, maybe they'll look to take a wing with that Pelicans pick. Because there are definitely some interesting 3-and-D wing prospects that are projected in the late teens and into the early 20s, where that Pelicans pick will be somewhere between 20 and 23. So, speaking of that position of need and wings and people who were and were not mentioned by name by John Paxson yesterday, Paul Zipser. His name did not come up. The Bulls do have the team option for Zipser next season, but you look at the lack of influence Zipser had when given opportunities to start in the early parts of the season. Yeah, remember that? Remember when Zipser was starting games? Feels like a lifetime ago. He was basically shut down. And before being shut down for, you know, whatever the injury was, I can't even remember at this point. Zipser seemed so irrelevant. It was a lot of DNPs, Fred Hoiberg's decision. Zipser showed some promise in his rookie year, especially for being a second-round draft pick. But there was serious regression there. And with Paxson talking about the wing being a position of need, things don't look so good for Zipser sticking around and being a part of this rebuild moving forward. Another name that was not mentioned, who is likely done with the Bulls, Jaren Grant. Because for all of the jokes that we've cracked about Cameron Payne this season on this podcast, Jordan and I have owned up to the fact that when given the opportunity coming out of the All-Star break, Cameron Payne looked not quite as laughably bad as we all thought he was. Paxson praised Cam Payne for his ability to push the floor, said he's probably in recent years the guard that they have that is best at pushing the floor, aka doing what Fred Hoiberg wants from the point guard position. Showed his ability to attack the rim, Assist to turnover ratio was respectable. And also, Paxson highlighted Campaign's defense and his aggression on that end of the floor. Praise for Campaign. Paxson said, actually, and this is basically a quote here, feel good about Chris Dunn being our starting point guard and Campaign being our backup point guard moving forward. That, I mean, do the math. Jaren Grant is out. And at this point, I don't disagree. You look at what Campaign was able to do in that stretch of 20 or 25 games, and you look at what Jaren Grant did this season. Woefully inconsistent. A guy who dribbled far too much for a Fred Hoiberg offense, got the ball stuck, ended up taking a bad shot himself, a lot of ugly step backs, and he is not a very confident and not a very strong and efficient perimeter shooter. And Jaren Grant was jacking up a lot of threes and a lot of long contested twos. In today's NBA, that is the last thing you want. Not only that, and this is something that even the most simplistic of Bulls fans who can see what's going on have noted this season, Jaren Grant, when sharing the floor with Lauri Markkanen, did a piss-poor job of finding the Bulls' best offensive weapon and getting him the ball. So there is definitely a, you know, read between the lines, and it's not that difficult element of Paxson's presser from Thursday. Jaren Grant, bye. See ya. Thanks for your services, but your services are no longer needed. And then some of the other role players on this team that maybe just because there were bigger, you know, bigger picture questions, like how do you feel the season went as a whole, Hoiberg and his coaching, the core three pieces, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the other guys that weren't really talked about in this press conference, Sean Kilpatrick, who they picked up basically just to get closer to the to close the gap on the salary cap floor, who played well in the final stretch of 10 games or so. Not mentioned. Noah Vonleh, a guy they took a flyer on at the trade deadline, who Robin Lopez ceded his minutes to get a look at, who showed at times his strength as a rebounder at the NBA level and a guy who can put the ball on the floor when he has a mismatch on the block and do some nice work offensively in the post. Not mentioned. Antonio Blakeney, a two-way guy who was rookie of the year for the G League this season, led the G League in scoring in dominant fashion. Unfortunately, had his season cut short with an injury when he was called up and had a short stint with the Bulls. Not mentioned. David Nwaba, surprisingly to me, not mentioned. Nwaba also a restricted free agent this offseason. If I'm John Paxson, obviously priority one is Zach LaVine's contract. Priority two? David Nwaba proved himself to be a valuable NBA player for this Bulls team this season, running the floor, playing great defense, and attacking the rim, distributor, strong guy moving off the ball, making cuts, making hustle plays, making the extra pass, doing whatever he needs to do. Valuable, valuable player. It'll be interesting to see what kind of offers, if any, Nwaba gets, and I'm guessing he'll get some offers. I think it's far more likely that David Nwaba, with what he showed in a Bulls uniform this season, gets offers. I think that's a hell of a lot more likely than it was for Nico Mirotic to get substantial offers as a free agent, restricted free agent last summer. I think Nwaba's going to get some offers. Where do the Bulls place keeping Nwaba in Chicago on their priority list? To me, I don't think it's out of, you know, I don't think it's crazy to say that that should be a higher priority than signing Bobby to a multi-year deal. And that's not me saying that I think Nwaba is more important to this rebuild and a better player in this rebuild than Bobby Portis. No, they're different players. They do different things for this Bulls team. And absolutely, with the way he played in his third year, Bobby Portis is a guy that the Bulls want to keep. I want the Bulls to keep Bobby Portis. But they can have him on another year of that rookie deal. And Paxson also said that going out and signing a bunch of free agent veterans, not on the to-do list this summer. That'll be probably 2019 when the Bulls are growing, have had an opportunity, hopefully, to have a healthy season from Levine, Dunn, and Markkanen collectively to get a better idea of what they need around them. 2018 is not about signing free agents, and the Bulls have plenty of cap space, so they can, if they want, look to match any kind of offer that Nwaba gets or give him an offer preemptively if they really like him and want to keep him around. And they have the flexibility to do that and sign Levine and offer Bobby Portis something, a modest multi-year contract extension, probably something similar to what they gave Jimmy Butler when he decided to bet on himself and turned down that four-year, $44 million option before his most improved player season. The Bulls can do all three of those. They can sign Levine, they can sign Bobby to an extension, and they can match any offers that Nwaba might get. But I thought it was interesting that David Nwaba did not come up, because he's a guy that Paxson definitely mentioned at various times throughout the season as a guy that they were really high on. Didn't mention him. And then to wrap things up here, the two veterans who were rumored to be on the trading block leading up to this season's NBA trade deadline, neither of whom were moved, both of whom took a step back as far as their minutes on a nightly basis and the role that they played after the All-Star break, and that is Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday. Justin Holiday was not mentioned by name in this press conference by John Paxson. Justin Holiday, there wasn't a Justin Holiday question posed to him from the media, so there's that. But Robin Lopez was talked about at length by John Paxson, talking about how highly they value him as a veteran leader of this team, as a guy that can give you rebounds and scoring around the rim and defense. And Paxson said flatly, Robin is a part of our future. Now, you can interpret that as you will, because the Bulls still have him under contract next season, one more year, for a respectable $14.3 million. And if the Bulls don't get any crazy kind of offers to move Robin Lopez this offseason, I'd put the likelihood of Robin Lopez at least starting the 2018-19 season being in a Bulls jersey at 90%. It's that high. That's how much they value this guy. And who knows, maybe if the Bulls do get lucky and bump up into the top three and like any of those bigs so much that they can't pass on them, even with the need for a wing, or they take their wing with the sixth or seventh pick and then take a flyer on a big, on a center with that Pelicans pick, maybe they want Robin Lopez around another year to do some mentoring for a young center who the Bulls hopefully will build into a starting center for this young core that they have moving forward. Whether it's Rolo giving this team quality minutes as their starting center again to start next season, and or the leadership qualities that Paxson has talked about with Robin Lopez extensively, sounds like Robin Lopez is going to be here for the entirety of this Bulls offseason program and going into next season. Now, whether or not they decide to shop him to a playoff contender leading up to the deadline next season, I think that's certainly still within the realm of possibility. But immediate future, Paxson said, Robin Lopez, he is a part of our future. Justin Holiday, no such mention. So those are the key bullet points from the John Paxson press conference from yesterday. Now, Jordan and I, when we can reconvene on Monday, can get into more depth of what we believe, what we liked, what we didn't like from this press conference. But before we did that, I just wanted to give our Locked On Bulls listeners a breakdown of who were the key names mentioned, who are the key names omitted, what are the certainties, and what are the question marks based on that press conference leading into this offseason. Hopefully you got something out of that. And then when we reconvene on Monday, Jordan and I can get to the fun part, which is picking apart the intricacies of, do we believe what John Paxson said? Do we have faith in this front office moving forward? Which guys do we want to stick around? Which guys do we want to see go? And all of that fun stuff. But we'll hold off on that for Monday's show. And just a reminder, as we are looking into the weekend, this Friday is a very important day for Bulls fans and for NBA teams looking ahead to the draft this summer. The tiebreakers will be drawn later today. So the tiebreaker for the Bulls and Kings at 6 and 7, if neither team gets lucky and jumps into the top three, if the Bulls and Kings stay tied for sixth, the tiebreaker to determine who drafts sixth and who drafts seventh, that will happen today, Friday, April 13th. The tiebreaker for the Pelicans and the other three teams that have an identical record as far as where they pick 20, 21, 22, 23, in what order, those tiebreakers will also be drawn later today. So keep an eye out for those. And once we know those, we can also talk about that on Monday as far as not so much a huge difference at 6 or 7, but certainly Jordan and I can take a closer look. We started to look at some of those early 20s potential draft picks for the Bulls in our show yesterday. We can look at that more extensively on Monday once we know exactly where that Pelicans pick will be, 20 through 23. But that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Bulls. Just a reminder, if you have any thoughts about Paxton's press conference, you can shoot us a message to our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369. As always, you can hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Bulls underscore Pack, and at Jordan C. Malley. And of course, be sure to tune in to us on the Dash Radio app and DashRadio.com on the Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Also check out Locked On Cubs and Locked On Bears. For Jordan Malley, this is Matt Peck saying have a great weekend, Bulls Nation. We will talk to you on Monday. We're out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.